Good morning to everyone on the internet and here in Pierre. It is Tuesday, May 22nd, 2007 at 9:30 in the morning. We are in the State Capitol Building of Room 412. We'll start our commission meeting. First on the agenda is our consumer utility inquiries and complaints received by Ms. Deb Gregg, but first we'll do the roll call. Who's on the phone? Commissioner Gary Hansen and Commissioner Dusty Johnson
Good morning,
are going to be
Steve.
Joining telephonically today. Commissioner Hansen, are you there?
Good morning, Steve.
And Commissioner Johnson.
Yeah, good morning.
How about Colleen Savald?
Over cash.
Is joining the meeting.
Colleen Savald with Quest?
Yes, I'm here.
Jason Topp with Quest?
Jason will not be on the call.
Okay. Talbot Rozoric, are you there, Tal?
I'm here, Mr. Commissioner.
Mary Sisick?
Here.
Representing Swifttail. Jim Overcash, representing ITC?
I'm here, Commissioner.
Rita Mulkern, representing MDU?
I am here, and I also have Stephanie Bosch with me.
Okay.
Is joining the meeting.
Ryan Taylor, representing ITC? Richard Thaler, representing Level 3 Communications.
Present, Mr. Commissioner.
Jeff Deckard, representing Northwest Energy.
Yes, here, Mr. Commissioner.
Erica Voss.
Here, Commissioner.
Okay. Michael McWright and Nick Anthony. Are you on the line? Okay. And also is Kenna Hagen. An attorney with MDU, are you on here too?
Yes, this is Kenna Hagen, but with Black Hills Power.
Black Hills Power. How about Rob Ursa?
Yes, I also have here with me Rob Usera with Black Hills Power and Dave Semerod with West River Electric.
And is there anyone else on the line that I failed to mention? Okay. Now I think we're ready for Ms. Gregg to give her report.
Thank you, Commissioner Kolbeck. The Commission has received a total of 69 contacts since the last report was prepared for the May 8, 2007 Commission meeting. 17 of the contacts involved telecommunication services, 19 contacts involved electrical services, 7 contacts involved natural gas services, 10 contacts involved cellular phone service, 8 contacts related to the Do Not Call Registry, and 8 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 858 of the 1,046 complaints received in 2007 have been resolved, and 2,252 of the 2,466 complaints received in 2006 have been resolved.
All right. Is there a motion to approve?
I move to approve.
Okay.
Johnson.
And I concur. Commissioner Johnson?
Yeah, as do I.
All right, so now we'll move on to consumer complaints. The first complaint is CT06-008 in the matter of complaints filed against eChurch Network regarding unauthorized billing in docket CT06-008 and CT06-009. In the matter of the complaint filed against Siesta Motel, Mitchell, South Dakota, against eChurch Network regarding unauthorized billing. Also in 009, in the matter of the complaint filed by Motel 6 against eChurch Network regarding unauthorized billing. Shall the Commission dismiss the complaints and close the above reference dockets? First we'll turn to staff, Ms. Gregg or Ms. Van Bakken.
Hi, this is Kara Van Bakken for staff. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. I first want to start by saying staff really appreciates these sorts of complaints. We're powerless without them, so we definitely appreciate the effort it took for both of these consumers to complete the complaint and get it to us. As I know all of staff is aware, maybe some of those listening aren't, staff proceeded against eChurch, who just was very egregious in its fraudulent behavior in South Dakota, and we were successful and received a judgment against them. These two individual complaints have now decided that they'd like to dismiss their individual complaints as they don't intend to spend the time and money it would take to individually proceed against eChurch. And I spoke with both of them, one yesterday and one this morning, and they do appreciate what the commission did to stop eChurch from harming any other consumers in South Dakota. So with that, staff would ask for dismissal. Thank you.
Next, we'll ask for any questions or concerns from commissioners or any other staff.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Johnson. Ms. Embachern, if these complaints were not closed, can you give me an idea of what the process would be for the commission going forward?
Certainly. This is Kara for staff. These individual complainants would be required to proceed either individually or they could hire counsel. They'd have to schedule a hearing. They'd have to put on their own case against eChurch. And as we know, the challenges in collecting and proceeding against an out-of-state company that's potentially looking towards bankruptcy. So they'd have to, you know, follow the same procedure. And that is exactly why staff chose to start the show cause against eChurch. We felt it was such a burden to place upon these individual consumers to put on their own case when it is they were individually only harmed, you know, potentially that $50 per month charge. So it just seemed like a huge burden to place on these consumers, which is exactly why staff proceeded.
So were these individual complaints a portion of the staff proceeding?
Yes, they were.
Okay. Gotcha. Thanks. No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. This is Commissioner Kovac. I do have one question. There was no monetary loss to either of these. It was reimbursed, or they just racking up they're taking it as loss?
I'm trying to remember. Both of these complainants caught the charge immediately, and so I don't believe either of them paid it, and Deb Gregg would know for sure.
This is Deb Gregg for staff. That's correct. Both complainants received the bill, knew that they did not incur any of those charges, and they did not pay them.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, motion is in order.
This is Johnson. I would move to dismiss the complaints and hold the reference documents.
There's a motion. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll take roll. Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
And I will concur. Next, I guess I'm going to ask. Commissioner Hansen, you're cutting out, or Johnson, I'm sorry, you're cutting out just a little bit, so maybe want to talk just a little louder.
Okay, I'd be happy to.
Is Michael McCrite or Nick Anthony on the phone right now? Seeing that they are not on right now, I will make the move that we defer CE07-001 to the end of the agenda. Are there any objections to that? Seeing none, we'll continue on with EL06-020. In the matter of the application by Novartis Energy Incorporated for an energy conversion facility permit for the construction of the White Wind Farm and associated collection substations and electric interconnection system. Today before the commission is shall the commission approve the stipulation? I see Darla Pullman-Rogers is at the microphone. So we'll start with staff comments. And I'll look to Martin Bettman, Bob Pinedo, or Nathan Solem, or Karen Kramer.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer for staff. As this is a stipulation between the parties, I think I will defer to Ms. Rogers to explain the stipulation.
All right.
Thank you.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes, thank you. My name is Darla Pullman-Rogers, and I am representing SDREA and Sioux Valley Energy, both of whom are interveners in this docket. SDREA and Sioux Valley Energy's interest in this docket was basically twofold. Number one, since the Navitas Wind Energy is in Sioux Valley Energy's service territory, Sioux Valley Energy was interested in entering into an agreement with Navitas that Sioux Valley Energy would provide station power to the wind farm
when and if it was necessary. And the second concern was limitation of use of those collector lines just for the transmission of power. We set up some meetings with Navitas at Sioux Valley Energy, and we were able to work out an agreement with them, and what you have before you is that agreement. Then we did also concur with or talk to staff. They had a few suggestions, and we incorporated those. So the parties have agreed that Sioux Valley Energy will provide the station power, and the lines will, the collector lines will only be used for the transmission of energy from the wind farm. And we would ask the commission to approve this stipulation today.
Okay, thank you. Any comments from commissioners? I have one question. I guess I was under the understanding that that transmission line is going to be two-way. Is that correct? There'd be a bidirectional meter on that?
That is my understanding. If you have specific questions about that, I do have one of the engineers from Sioux Valley Energy who is listening to this. All of the lines were busy, and so I don't think he's able to call in to answer your question. So if maybe we could defer this to the end of the docket, and I think there will be some lines available by then.
Either that or Mr. Rizloff, do you have any insight into that?
No, I don't. I can give it some thought and
joining the meeting.
Excuse me. I could make an estimate, but I think I prefer to leave it to them how they configure their system. They have the power being metered both ways.
I can tell you that Navitas will interconnect to WAPA's 345 kV at White, South Dakota, and at that point, you're correct, a bidirectional meter will be installed to measure the demand of the energy.
Okay.
Commissioner.
I would just politely like to mention that if you're listening on the telephone lines, to please mute your phone because we can hear
That was unfortunate. At my age, it's difficult to hold a thought for that long. Yeah, I'm only partly kidding here. When we talk about 345 and bidirectional, you know, the question is, I don't believe it would be a net metering concept where you're just spinning the meter backwards. There would be measurement going both ways. So although it's a bidirectional meter, there's, in effect, you're measuring it going both ways. So we could say there is a single metering for all intents and purposes of the power flowing out and the power flowing in, if that helps.
And that's correct. I concur with that.
And I guess my other question would be, it states in the stipulation that Sioux Valley will not participate further. Is that all of their concerns are met with this stipulation, correct?
All of the concerns of Sioux Valley Energy in this docket were met with this stipulation, yes.
All right. Any other questions?
Just maybe a question for, I mean, should we don't have it specifically listed on the agenda, but I think it's sort of implied. I mean, do you want to be your intervention withdrawn today as well as the approval of stipulation?
We talked about that, and I don't know that we necessarily wanted to withdraw in case something else came up in the docket, but our position is that we would not actively participate any further.
Thank you.
Any other questions from commissioners or staff? Hearing none, the motion is in order. I'll motion that in the case of EL06-020, that today the commission approve the stipulation. A motion has been made. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Commissioner Johnson. Commissioner Johnson, are you there? Commissioner Hansen?
Commissioner Hansen votes aye.
Oh, sorry,
Commissioner Kolbeck. I had my phone on mute. That's by you. Unfortunately, as a trustee graduate, not smart enough to take it off before talking. So I vote aye.
And I will concur. Motion passes 3-0. Thank you. Now that things are flowing smoothly at my first meeting. Okay. Miss Voss, are you still here? Erica Voss, are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How about Michael McCrite and Nick Anthony? Have you joined us now?
Yes.
Okay. I understand there's a problem or a situation that maybe, Miss Voss, you're on a time constraint. Is that correct?
I'll be okay.
Okay.
I'm at work right now, but I've got it worked out with my boss.
Okay, we'll continue on as first originally planned then. In the case of EL07-016, in the matter of a joint request for the electric service territory boundary change between Charles Mix Electric Association and Douglas Electric Cooperative. Today, before the commission, shall the commission approve the electric service territory boundary change? First of all, we'll look to staff, Mr. Solo, Mr. Bettman, or staff attorney Karen Kramer.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer from staff. Nathan has typed up some notes for me that I will read to you. Charles Mix Electric Association and Douglas Electric Cooperative have filed for relocation of an electric service territory line in Charles Mix County, South Dakota. The original plot map was amended on May 2nd to more accurately reflect the legal description. Movement of the boundary line would transfer Lot A, WJ Betram First Edition in Government Lot 6 in the north half of the northwest quarter of Section 31, Township 98 North, Range 63 West, Charles Mix County, South Dakota, from Charles Mix Electric to Douglas Electric, as Douglas Electric is better able to serve the customer based on the close proximity of its distribution lines. The relocation of the boundary results in the elimination of duplication of service and reduced power line extension costs. The owner of this lot has agreed in writing to this proposal, and that can be found in the file. Staff recommends approval of this request as it avoids unnecessary duplication of facilities, provides adequate electric service to the customer affected, and promotes the efficient and economical use and development of the electrical systems of the utilities as outlined in SDCL 4934A55 for such exceptions.
Thank you, Ms. Kramer. Is there anyone from Charles Mix Electric on the line or would like to comment for them? How about Douglas Electric? All right. Any questions from commissioners? Hearing none, any questions from staff? All right. I believe a motion is in order.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the commission approve the electric service territory boundary change.
A motion has been made. Discussion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Commissioner Johnson?
I vote aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kolbeck votes aye. Motion passes 3-0. Next, to EL07-017 in the matter of joint request for the electric service territory boundary change between Black Hills Power Incorporated and West River Electric Association Incorporated. Okay. Today shall the commission approve the electric service territory boundary change. First of all, we'll look to staff. Again, Ms. Kramer.
Thank you very much. This is Karen Kramer from staff. West River Electric Association and Black Hills Power, Inc. have filed for relocation of an electric service territory line in Section 29, Township 2 North, Range 8 East, Black Hills Meridian, Pennington County, South Dakota. Movement of the boundary line would clarify who the electric service provider is for future development of Mall Drive at Exit 60 of I-90. This will result in the elimination of duplication of service and promote the efficient and economical use and development of the electrical systems of the aforementioned utilities. No existing customers or electric facilities are affected by this proposal. The one owner of the affected property has agreed in writing to this proposal, and that can be found in the file. Staff recommends approval of this request as it avoids unnecessary duplication of facilities, provides adequate electric service to the customers affected, and promotes the efficient and economical use and development of the electrical systems of the utilities as outlined in SDCL 4934A55 for such exceptions. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone here to speak on behalf of Black Hills Power?
This is Kenna Hagan. I'm an attorney for Black Hills Power, and I also have Roger Serra from Black Hills Power and Dave Semrod from West River Electric. I think Ms. Kramer's summary of the proposal is accurate, and I don't have any further comments.
Thank you. Anyone, West River Electric Association?
This is Dave Semrod, branch manager of West River Electric, and we're in agreement with the proposed territory.
All right, thank you. Any commissioner questions? Hearing none, a motion is in order.
This is Commissioner Hansen. I would move that the commission approve the electric service territory boundary change in EL07-017.
A motion has been made. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll continue on to vote. Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye. Motion passes 3-0. And the next matter, NG07-011, natural gas, in the matter of the filing by Northwestern Corporation, doing business as Northwestern Energy, to approval of a contract with deviations with Millennium Ethanol. Today before the commission, shall the commission approve the tariff revisions, and shall the commission approve the contract with deviations? First of all, we'll turn to staff, Mr. Jacobson or Ms. Kramer.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Dave Jacobson. I think Jeff Decker's on the line if he would like to provide an overview of the filing.
Sure. Good morning. This is Jeff Decker, Northwestern. Northwestern has welcomed the opportunity to participate in several gas pipeline projects to serve ethanol plants in South Dakota. Millennium Ethanol near Marion is the latest proposed project. This is a 100 million gallon plant. Northwestern proposes to build 32 miles of pipeline to serve the customer. The proposed rate covers the recovery of the cost of construction, ongoing O&M, taxes, a carrying charge on the project, and provides a return as well as contribution to the overhead cost of the existing Northwestern gas system. Plant startup date is expected to be in December of this year. Northwestern requests approval of this rate today in order to provide ethanol and its managers. The commitment of Northwestern.
Mr. Decker?
Yes.
Can I interrupt you? Could you get off the speakerphone? Are you on one?
Sure. Is that better?
That's much better. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Could you just back up maybe just a couple sentences that really started to get bad there?
Okay. Northwestern requests approval of this rate today in order to provide the ethanol plant and its financiers the commitment of Northwestern to build the pipeline and charge the rate provided in the contract. With approval of this rate, Northwestern will receive assurance its costs are covered and a margin is provided before it begins spending dollars on this project. Northwestern welcomes the opportunity for economic development near one of its communities and asks for your approval of this contract with deviation.
All right, thank you. Any questions from staff? Any additional comments?
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Dave Jacobson. The mechanism or the formulas used to derive the rate are similar to the formulas that we've utilized in the past to come up with a rate. Needless to say, without a full cost of service study and that type of information, it's very difficult to tell if this is actually an appropriate rate at this time. So, as in the past, what we would do is condition approval of this filing with the condition that Northwestern provide a report to the commission of all the actual costs once completion of this line extension is experienced in the assumably towards the end of this year. And then also the condition that the commission finds that this approval does not predetermine a commission decision at the time of a future rate case proceeding regarding a retreatment concerning possible cost recovery shortfalls from rates approved in this docket. And with those two conditions, we'd recommend approval.
Any questions or concerns from commissioners?
Yeah, Commissioner Kolbeck, Commissioner Hanson here. Question for Ms. Jacobson, if that's appropriate.
Sure.
Ms. Jacobson, you talked about a report of costs. Are you talking just about the cost of the pipeline in?
Yes, the cost of the line extension or the facilities proposed that are addressed by this contract, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Commissioner Hanson, any questions?
No, I don't, thank you.
I just have one question. It's my assumption that there is some sort of protection from ratepayers, obviously. If I know this is unforeseen, but if there was a bankruptcy or the company was to go under, and that is an insurance, or how?
Yes, in the filing, the company has described a letter of credit that they are utilizing to protect.
Okay, and that is something that will be in the report that we'll know that is being kept up in the next 10 years to make sure that ratepayers.
Well, it is in the filing. I mean, it is in the considered filing. That an obligation by the company to carry through with that.
Okay. Any other questions?
Commissioner, Mr. Chairman, this is Gary Hanson. I do have a question, if I may.
Sure.
It just occurred to me, in stretching things in the farthest distance of conflict of interest, I do own some ethanol stock in another state, not in South Dakota, and just in case that there's some by the stretch of one's imagination that there may be a conflict here, I think I will just not vote on this particular issue.
Thank you. Any other questions by staff? Anyone from Millennium Ethanol? Hearing none, I think a motion is in order. I have a motion in the case of NG07-011 that the commission approve the tariff revisions and the commission approve the contract with deviations as according to recommendations from staff. Motion has been made. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll have roll call. Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Kolbeck votes aye, and Commissioner Hanson will abstain. All right, and the next one. Matter NG07-012 in the matter of the filing by MDU for approval of tariff revisions regarding the experimental conservation program tracking mechanism rate 90. The application by Montana Dakota Utilities for approval of a tariff revisions to effectuate a conservation tracking adjustment pursuant to the terms of the conservation program tracking mechanism. Before the commission today, shall the commission approve the tariff revisions? First of all, we'll turn to staff. Mr. Jacobson, Mr. Rounds, Mr. Wegman, or Ms. Kramer.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Dave Jacobson. I believe Rita Mulkern is on the phone for the company if she'd like to make a summary statement.
Sure.
I can do that. Thank you. I also have Stephanie Bosch with me. In 2006, Montana Dakota implemented a portfolio of natural gas conservation programs under an experimental program approved by this commission. The goal in initiating the program was to raise awareness of the available energy-saving measures that customers can utilize to reduce their heating bills. The authorized program consists of rebates for high-efficiency natural gas furnaces, rebates for programmable thermostats, conservation starter kits, and the Energy Star Partnership. Rebates were paid to qualifying customers upon verification of participation in a conservation program. As of February 28, 2007, there were 39 furnace rebates and 41 programmable thermostat rebates awarded to customers in South Dakota. This is the first adjustment to be implemented under the Experimental Conservation Program Tracking Mechanism Rate 90 tariff for recovery of conservation program expenses and lost distribution revenue through February 28, 2007. The conservation tracking adjustment will be shown as a separate line item on the customer's bill, and the conservation tracking adjustment will be applied to a customer's billed energy use each month through April 30, 2008. The company proposed a conservation tracking adjustment of 0.3 cents per decatherm for Black Hills system and 0.7 cents per decatherm for the East River system. We are currently promoting these programs through the use of bill inserts, through information available at our local offices. We have a new Energy Center webpage that focuses on conservation management, and we also do promotions at home shows. And we will continue to promote the program and the benefits of conservation. And I will be available for any questions you might have.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from staff?
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Dave Jacobson. This filing basically follows the previously approved plan of MDUs, and now that they have experienced the costs, now it comes time to implement the tracking adjustment. All of the computations by the company were past staff scrutiny. Interesting to note that the participation in the program is quite a bit less than originally estimated in the original filing. However, this type of program is kind of new, you know, to both the commission and the company. It's been many years since we previously had experience with this type of program. And so it is kind of a learning experience. There also was a survey conducted along with the program, and that has been submitted by the company for review by the commission. To all of the customer participants were asked several questions, and the results of that are kind of interesting. Other than that, we would just recommend approval.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from commissioners?
Yeah, Commissioner Colbeck, Commissioner Johnson here. I have more, if you could, the last page of your filing, you list saved amounts of natural gas and decatherms. Can you kind of walk us through that a little bit? I think that would be helpful.
Yes, I can. And you are referring to a revised exhibit?
Yeah, looking at page 2 of 3 of revised exhibit A. And in particular, I guess I'll just ask a question and leave a little faster, but you've got 4 columns underneath furnace rating.
That's each one representing a efficiency rate for a type of furnace.
Okay, and so on the number of customers, how are you able to know how much the efficiency of their furnace to begin with? Obviously, you know the efficiency of the new furnace, but are you able to tell how many decatherms they saved without knowing what the previous furnace was?
We use a base of 78%. Most of the furnaces that are being replaced are older furnaces and would have efficiency, so we use that, assume that base of 78%.
The surveys that were done, did they get a feel for what type of appliances were being replaced?
Yes, we really did ask that. And if you, according to our survey, a majority were 16 years or older. In fact, we had some 14% were more than 40 years old. So probably about 90% were over 16 years old.
I didn't see the survey results filed as part of the docket. Did I miss that?
They were filed in the April 20th filing.
Okay. As Mr. Jacobson noted, there was a lot less use than was suspected in the original filing, the 05 filing. I think you thought that the adjustment would be around 3 or 4 cents, and now you said it's about a tenth of that. Any observations as to why maybe the take rate wasn't as high as you expected it would be?
I think it's just part of initiating a new program. This was approved, our program was approved in February of 2006. By the time we got it ramped up, it really didn't start until the summer of 2006. and it's just a little bit probably slower coming on than we had anticipated. We did mention that we had the number of furnaces we had through February of 2007. Well, between February, March 1 and May 15th, we had an additional 8 furnace rebates. So it does seem to be picking up, and we will continue to promote it because we think it is a valuable program.
One other question. I'm not quite sure where it went in my mind, but Mr. Kolbeck, that's all I have for right now. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions? Hearing none, the motion is in order.
Commissioner Kolbeck, I hope you have another question.
Sure, absolutely.
Could you give us some idea of the typical use in terms or index terms of natural gas customer so we can get some idea of, I presume the impact on individual customers is going to be quite small, and I just want to verify that.
Yes, a typical customer in the Black Hills area might use 100 decatherms a year, and so their rate or their annual amount they would pay will be 30 cents for the upcoming from now through April.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you, Commissioner Johnson. Any other questions? Hearing none, a motion is in order. Now, motion.
Excuse me, go ahead.
You go ahead.
This is Commissioner Hansen. I move that the Commission approve the tariff revisions as suggested by staff. KNG07-012.
All right. Motion has been made. Discussion? Hearing none, we'll take roll. Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kolbeck will vote aye. Motion passes 3-0. Before we move on to our telecommunications matters, I believe everyone in the telecommunications matters is a corporation. How about we move back to CE07-001? I know Ms. Boss, Mr. McKnight, and Mr. Anthony, they're kind of, shall we say, normal people here, and we'll try to get them back to their workplace as quickly as possible. So we'll take up CE07-001 in the matter of the complaint filed by Michael McWright, Mitchell, South Dakota, against Northwest Energy regarding utility service refusal. There was a complaint filed by Mr. McKnight against Northwestern Energy regarding Northwestern's refusal to provide utility service at the Stardust Motel in Mitchell, South Dakota. Mr. McWright recently signed a lease agreement for the Stardust Motel and now desires to transfer utilities into his name and restore utilities to the motel. He intends to reopen the motel for business and act as the motel manager and operator. Northwestern refused Mr. McWright's request due to a balance owed by the former owner and operator of the same property. On May 15, 2007, Mr. McWright filed an emergency motion for temporary service while the complaint is being resolved. Today in front of the commission, shall the commission grant the emergency motion? First of all, I turn to staff, Ms. Gregg or Ms. Van Bachren.
And I think, excuse me, Mr. McCrait is on the phone, so I think it'd be appropriate if we heard from him first and let him tell us his story.
Hello,
good. Could you, Ms. McCrait, before we start, could you be sure to speak loudly and clearly into the phone? Maybe not on the speakerphone. Nope, that's better. We just need to please have you pay attention to speaking loudly and clearly because you're coming in on an overhead speakers.
Okay. I basically, not an echo on my phone, but I basically started up Motel and ultimately some money. And I'm trying to get the electric turned on. I don't know what else to add besides that.
Okay. Could you maybe explain a little more in detail your side of the story, I guess?
Well, I leased a motel from Nick Antoni and in hopes to make a little bit of, hopefully a lot of money at the start.
All right. Thank you, Mr. McCreep. I'll turn to staff and maybe enlighten us a little bit more on that.
And if it's okay with Northwestern, could we do kind of a question-answer thing so I can we can get more of the facts out there regarding the relationship of the parties, et cetera?
I'm going to step in here. I really think it's appropriate to hear from the respondent at this point before we move on.
And I completely agree. I just was hoping to maybe assist Mr. McCrate so the commissioner.
Sure. Well, we'll get to that point as we get on here. Why don't we hear from the respondent as to what, so we know what this is all about. This is John Smith, by the way. I'm sorry. Sorry, Mr. Chairman, to butt in.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Brett Kaneke from Pierre, appearing for Northwestern in the complaint and hailed into court here on an emergency hearing basis. I'm not exactly sure where the rules are for emergency hearings or what the possibilities are today, but we've filed a response and to both the complaint and the emergency petition, and we've also filed a motion to dismiss here this morning. The complainant has described to you a situation in which he faces, according to his version of the facts, only the restoration of electric service to the motel. He's got some other problems of which he hasn't described to you this morning. The city of Mitchell turned the water off to the premises earlier this month, and according to Mayor Siebert, the water isn't going to be turned on unless there's a check for the services provided in the amount of several thousand dollars, and that check clears the bank. The health department has revoked the license of the Stardust Motel. Lodging establishments have to be licensed. And I understand there's proceedings ongoing and perhaps a hearing scheduled in that matter. Furthermore, there are, upon information and belief, no tenants at the Stardust Motel currently. And what we're pointing towards here is a situation that's outlined further in my response to the petition, wherein Mr. Antoni, who apparently is also on the line, has owns a number of properties in Mitchell, rental properties. We believe the Stardust has been a residential motel where efficiency apartments, if you will, have been rented to people. But in any event, the utilities haven't been paid for a number of months with respect to these properties. And what Mr. Antoni, in our belief, is doing is trying to get his tenants or other people with whom he's aligned or people who he knows to make application for services and avoid payment of the bill. And I'll just be really straightforward and clear with the commission. I don't think there's a rule on point with respect to what's going on here. We would expect that there would be an evidentiary hearing scheduled before anything was done. We would expect not to bear the burden of proof, but would expect to be able to outline a situation in which Northwestern's being gamed or attempting to be, or somebody's attempting to game us or the corporation on payment of the bills, and we're not going to agree to be gamed. We simply will not agree to that. If the commission orders that the services be turned on, that's one thing, but we won't agree to it. We've got a number of people who have filed application for service in a number of different places, have had services turned on in the past month, turned off in all of these properties, and when we finally caught on to what's going on, this is a situation that's been developing day by day over about the past 10 days. People have called in and said, well, I was told if I applied, the services could be turned on for me. People have had services turned on for their own portion of a building plus five or six other portions. It brings into play master metering, perhaps violations of the rules. There's a number of things going on here. But with respect to this simple complaint, I really doubt whether Mr. McCrate has leased an interest in this property at all. As I said, there's a proceeding going on at the health department with respect to the license for the establishment. That's not going on in Mr. McCrate's name. That's going on in Mr. Antoni's name. Dave Nicholas told me that this morning. If Mr. McCrate had the least the interest in the property, he would have made his own application to have a license from the health department. There's just a number of matters. We believe that there's a relationship between Mr. McCrate and Mr. Antoni, some sort of familial relationship, which is causing this matter to be put before the commission this morning. There's a mortgage on the property. I'm not sure if it's in default or not, but I would suspect there's an assignment of rents back to the mortgage
company, and it's just further evidence that there's not been a commercially reasonable lease of this property, that there's not marketable title which could be leased, and we would expect to be able to demonstrate that at an evidentiary hearing set sometime in the future should the commission so decide. Northwestern is not happy about being here at all, about being complained against. Northwestern is in business to serve people with electricity. That's how it makes money, and we desire to do that. On the other hand, we desire to get paid for the services which we render, and when that hasn't happened to the tune of many thousands of dollars over a number of properties in a number of months, certainly the ire is up at Northwestern over this matter. So we would ask that the commission turn down this emergency petition. Turning on electricity isn't going to do any good when they don't have a license and don't have water. And set this matter for further hearing if the commission so decides, so that we can get to the bottom of what's going on here and find out what the right thing to do is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kaneki. We've heard from both parties. How about we turn to staff now?
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. This is Kara for staff, Kara Van Bakken for staff. Staff completely understands and agrees that Nick Antony is in extreme debt with Northwestern. He's not paid his bill. However, when staff has looked at the rules, and I think we all agree there's probably not a rule directly on point, when staff's looked at the rules for refusal to serve Mr. McCrate, we've been unable to find a rule that would allow refusal of service. I understand there are so many issues with this property. The health department, water, there are so many issues that definitely fall outside our rules and outside our jurisdiction. Looking at our rules, I don't see how refusal to serve Mr. McCrate, how it falls within our rules and how it's allowed. I do believe there are some facts regarding the lease of this property, and there maybe are some issues of fact the commission is going to want to look at to further decide the ultimately whether or not there is service. Therefore, I would recommend that dismissal. I would not recommend dismissal. I think this is something that we should continue to look at. However, I also agree with Northwestern that there's not necessarily a rule directly on point that would allow this emergency action. Mr. McCrate has, we did speak about possibly depositing some money into an escrow account of some sort, several months' worth of service. When money falls below X number of dollars, Northwestern no longer has an obligation to serve. That was something that came up. Parties weren't able to agree to it. I don't know if that is an option moving forward. Mr. McCrate has indicated his intentions to rehab this property and to get it up and running, and I would only assume that would involve license issues with the city, again, things beyond our scope today. Staff became more concerned about this situation when it appeared as if it was involving other properties owned by Nick Antony. And I know Erica Voss, I think I incorrectly wrote Voss, I think it's Voss with an F, is on the line as an interested party today too, as she's now been affected by Northwestern's decision not to serve Nick Antony's properties as a whole. So I don't know if Erica would like to chime in too, just as interested party in this whole.
Is that okay with you, Mr. Kennedy?
Really, it's not, Commissioner. She's filed her own complaint in the last couple of days. That's a separate matter, which can be dealt with in due course. There are a number of issues here, frankly, more than we can probably get through, given the nature of the hearing today, where no one's here to put their hand up in the air and say, I swear this is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I would object to hearing from someone who's not a party to this matter.
I think it's an open meeting, though, and I don't know if we can prevent an individual from speaking if they feel they have an interest in a matter.
I think this has got Ms. Wiest or Mr. Smith written all over it.
Well, I think, again, like, since we're not in a formal hearing, we're not really subject to, quote, objection in the technical sense. And, you know, she's been on the phone. I think it's fine to hear her side of this, especially because, at least from her complaint, there may be at least something resembling a legitimate tenant situation there that she may at least want to let the commission know about. And that might be a somewhat of a different situation than this other thing.
Well, this is Commissioner Johnson. Mr. Smith, is your recommendation to allow Ms. Vaught to speak to EMP issues or just you dealing with the docket before the commission right now?
Well, obviously, it's the only thing here, the only thing the commission can possibly decide is what's before them now. Her docket has not in any way been noticed. You know, we would be in violation of the public meeting law to deal with that. But on the other hand, to just hear what she has to say, you can overrule me. I just don't. I don't think it's legally objectionable to hear what she has to say. I'll put it that way. We're not at a formal hearing here.
My purpose for asking the question is to make sure that, to the extent that we ask her for her thoughts, that we make sure that they're focused on issues that are going to be most beneficial for the commission today.
That's fine.
I agree. Anything from Commissioner Hansen?
No, I will follow your lead, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I agree with Commissioner Johnson and Mr. Smith. We will hear from Ms. Voss here this morning, but Ms. Voss, are you on the line?
Yes.
Please take your statements as how they would pertain to this docket. For just tell us a little background information, since there is another docket out there. If you have anything to offer to this with Mr. McCrite or Mr. Anthony, please let us know.
Just a few days after I found it, all my things moved in. But I was a resident at 712 South Lawler, which is a small house that's divided into three units that sits directly behind the Stardust Hotel. Utilities, phone, all that was connected to the hotel. So when they initially turned the power off at the hotel, it shut me off too. And I had called and got the service put in my name just for that little house. And I had no intention of moving out. But shortly after I did that, the water was disconnected as well. And there's only one meter for the whole lot for the water. So I was in a position where I pretty much had to move out. And so I had the power disconnected at 712. And I moved to this other property on Sanborn. And my complaint is related to the fact that they are now refusing to give me service at the property on Sanborn Street.
This is Kara for staff. Again, staff's position in the... It's just to look at the rules and look whether or not it's possible for the commission to refuse to serve these people. And it appears as if there are tenant Erica Foss that's now gotten wrapped up in this whole situation and this fight regarding the Stardust Hotel, really, you know, who legitimately has been shut off. And we've got a lot of facts to look at whether or not it should be reconnected. I understand that. But I just think today, really, the commissioners, I think we need to look at the rules. And first of all, I don't believe that a refusal is appropriate according to our rules. And because of all the facts involved, staff doesn't recommend a dismissal at this point.
Okay. Ms. Voss, could I ask you one question?
Yes, sir.
Do you pay rent to Mr. Anthony or Mr. McCrite? Or did you own the property at 712?
No, I did not. It was a three-unit building. There were three apartments in the building. And I was a resident of one of them for almost 3 years at the time when all this happened.
And who did your rent check go to?
It went to Nick Anthony, Stardust Property.
That's what I need to know. Thank you. Any other questions from commissioners?
Yeah, this is Commissioner Johnson. Ms. Van Bakkeren, you stated that you don't think that there's any
rule that's up in point with the situation that we're discussing today. If that's the case, what would going to some sort of an evidentiary hearing do?
Well, this is Kara for staff. There is a rule on point. I mean, there are reasons for refusal. Our rules specifically state reasons for refusal. And there are no reasons for refusal in this circumstance. The applicant, who's Mr. McCrate in this circumstance, is not indebted to the utility. He's not refused to pay a deposit. He's provided all the information as they've asked, although I don't think we've even gotten to the conversation of possible credit checks or anything. Northwestern just has taken the stance from the beginning. They believe this is a fraudulent type of relationship. He is Nick Antony's uncle and feel that he's basically just substituting his name for Nick's. And so we've not even gotten to those types of discussions. So I think if we move on to an evidentiary hearing, it's going to be where the commission's going to be looking at the relationship between these two parties and whether or not they're one and the same, or whether or not they are indeed two separate people, and whether or not that falls within your jurisdiction, you know, would remain to be seen, I guess. But, you know, the reasons for refusal, there's no reason for refusal here.
Did you state a recommendation with regard to the letter requesting emergency motion that this be immediately reinstated?
I just don't know if there's a rule that allows, and if I apologize, I probably misunderstood your question. Regarding no rule directly on point for an emergency action, I don't find that there's a rule on point. So I probably misunderstood your question. I apologize, Commissioner. I don't think there's a rule on point that would allow you to do such. However, I wish the parties could work out an agreement where Mr. McCrate could put money forward towards service. However, because of Northwestern's position and arguments, I don't think that will be possible.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand this. At this time, you don't think that there is a rule granting Northwestern the ability to refuse service to someone?
Correct.
With the facts we have before us at this point. Given that, and given the fact that Northwestern is at this time not providing service to the properties allegedly under the control of Mr. McCrite, what do you recommend? I mean, what should Northwestern be doing right now with regard to that property?
I wish Northwestern would allow Mr. McCrate to put money forward towards service. And as soon as monies fall below X number of dollars, they have no further obligation to provide service. But it would show his intentions truly to run these properties. If he's willing to continue to fund that account, that deposit account, he must truly intend to run these properties and come up with the money. And Northwestern would be insulated from harm in that circumstance as well.
I understand that that's an option that you'd like to see the parties pursue. If they cannot come to an agreement, what legal authority does the commission have to grant any of the motions before us, or what happens if the commission moves forward with evidentiary hearing? Do we need to rule on Mr. McCrate's motion?
I don't believe the commission can grant an emergency motion such as what's been placed on the agenda today. However, if the commissioners, too, do not believe that there's a reason for refusal, I suppose they could order the power be restored. I don't know. I'd look to Commission Counsel for help on this as well.
Well, I think, you know, the Administrative Procedures Act affords a respondent a right to a hearing, and I don't think this commission can order Northwestern to do anything without going through that process, especially where we haven't really formally noticed a, quote, emergency motion for hearing, you know, for an evidentiary hearing, formal hearing, and we haven't done that. And honestly, at least from what I've said, and I think maybe we'd want to hear what Mr. McCrite has to say in response to this, but what we've heard so far from Northwestern, and again, we're not at a evidentiary hearing, we're just listening to speeches, but what I've heard Northwestern represent to us is that, to their knowledge, there are no tenants at the properties we're talking about here today, currently.
Situation, because I think there are facts that mean that it may be, you know,
electricity isn't going to be needed at this location in a matter of days or weeks. But in a broader sense, I guess I'm raising concerns because sometimes it takes a week for the schedule hearings with the council and all the parties and commissioner schedules. What would we do if we couldn't schedule it for 2 months and somebody legitimately needed electricity at a location?
Well, I think we could. I think we could conceivably schedule a hearing on shorter. I mean, the bottom line is we'd have to do it, you know, make time for it, notice it,
and
schedule it for hearing. And,
sure.
This is Kara for staff, and again, that's my concern, and that was the reason Erica, Ms. Foss, ended up on the line today, too. As a resident who has all of her property and intends to live somewhere, she doesn't have power. 20 days to respond, we schedule a hearing, she's going to have to move. She can't live there. Because by the time we get around to hearing, 3 months have passed, and that's my concern as well, and that's staff's concern, that if there's not an explicit reason for refusal, how the utility, who is a monopoly, Eric can't go down the street and find electricity somewhere else. What is she supposed to do, and how is staff supposed to help her?
I'm sort of running all over decorum here. Can I ask another question?
One more.
Ms. Barkin, I understand your concerns and I share them. I just quite understand where Ms. Foss fit into the particular docket discussion.
Where does she fit in?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a separate docket that's being filed, I'm not quite sure how her comments are instructive with regard to how we deal with the motion before us.
They probably aren't really, although my attitude is it's just we're not at a hearing here. We're at a meeting. And the only instructive part is letting the commission know there's a situation here that's, at least for some people, may have some at least significant inconvenience. The other thing is, I mean, what I just heard her say, I can't call it testimony, is that she was actually cut off at this location. I mean, that's what she said. I mean, I think what I might be, in terms of just practically knowing today, and again, this isn't a hearing. We haven't noticed this for hearing. Northwestern has a right to a hearing. Particularly, I think, in this case, I mean, I think we can use expedited procedures if we have to, and we can do what we have to with respect to an emergency situation. But I don't know, I mean, as of right now, at least, I haven't heard anything, and again, I think we should hear what Mr. McCrite has to say. I'm not hearing anything that indicates this is an emergency situation. I haven't heard anything today that would indicate that.
Mr. Chairman, if I could speak, this is Nick Antonio. I have an interest in that situation under the terms with Mike McCrite. He's my uncle, and he's a I'm trying to transition to a different location right now and having some financial issues. I have a couple of purchase agreements on two different parcels right now that are in place that we're waiting to obtain financing and refinancing. Also,
served the paperwork the very next day by the sheriff's department, indicating that the services were, or that the license was under suspension and that it would have to be reinspected upon the utility being turned back. And that it wasn't much of a problem at all. In the event that I'm leasing it, that's all that would happen, is that the lessee would be able to obtain services and have the health department come out and look at some of the rooms and check them for the regular health department inspection, smoke alarms and things like that, and it would be up and going again. I've been working with Mayor Luke Siebert and Mitchell here. He understands that I'm selling property and obtaining financing, and he's been working with me for my debt of $4,900 for the water, sewer, and garbage on 10 of these properties here in Mitchellville. I had paid a debt of close to $20,000 off this time last year to Northwestern, and I'm in the same situation this year. And because all these other tenants have been able to restore service in their name, they're able to pay their annual services in lieu of rent, whichever person is responsible, being at Front Egg and more than 23 Second, being at Michael Ball and the property next door to Eric DeVos's, where Eric DeVos is living, and right now she's the only tenant on the main floor of that building. Mind you, this is one of five tenants in that building. He was able to restore, this is Michael Ball on the building on South Maple. He was able to restore the server with no money down, and Eric is trying to do the same thing, basically transferring service over to that property. For her benefit, I had told her that if any rent or anything can be, she can just try to take that down to Northwestern, pay Northwestern, in lieu of rent, just keep her under the circumstances while we're waiting for the financing. I think she has a right to services immediately. I don't think there's actually a law that says that she can't, that she isn't allowed to have services. They have stated that it was many different reasons, master metering. It said that the motel would have to be separately metered. Each individual would have to be separately metered in order for the service to be restored. It's a motel, and I guess the reason why my uncle, Mike McCrae, is leasing it is so that he can have an opportunity to, like he said, make some money. Maybe it's a little bit of helping me out, because it would be helping me out. It would be in my best interest to be able to collect $1,200 a month on this property to pay some of these debts off. I'm behind in a lot of debts. I'm on the verge of bankruptcy right now. Of course, you have to come up with about $15,000 or so into bankruptcy, which I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that or not. You'll see sales. Once these sales are done, I'm going to be able to save myself up from bankruptcy and catch up with all the debt, rather than just hold the debt out for 6 months and make payments on it in a bankruptcy. So, under the law, the PUC has State Law 49-34-8-2.1, refusal of service. Each day is a separate offense. And so far, each day that services were not connected at the startup motel, because he has a Mike McCrae and has a business interest in that. And I also have an interest in that property not being able to lease that property out. If the, frankly, guys, the richest guy in town had come over there to the startup and decided that he wanted to put somebody in there and manage the motel, he would not be able to get Northwestern to turn those utilities on.
All right. Well, thank you for your comments. I think there's some more commissioner questions, but how about we'll Mr. Kennecke here, since we've given Mr. McCraig some time, or Mr. Anthony some time, we'll give Mr. Kennecke here some time to respond.
I appreciate that, Commissioner. I've sat idly by for the last few minutes while this conversation has raged on. I guess the first thing I would say is that I would welcome an opportunity to test the veracity or the truthfulness of a number of the statements made by the previous appear here before the commission today. If Northwestern is more than willing to turn the electricity on, as I said, that's our business. That's how we make money, how we get paid. But the bills, there has to be an arrangement made. Instead of sending people up straw men to game the system, let's come in with palms up and make an arrangement for liquidation of the debt. Let's talk about the plan to get this property back on its feet and where we're at in this process. As I understand, upon information and belief, a number of the tenants were residential tenants at the Stardust Motel being paid for by an agency of the state who had them under their care, for lack of a better word. And that agency rightfully became concerned and notified a number of these other entities with respect to this property, and we're just simply one of them, sitting out there doing the best we can to put together a system. Some people have been turned on before Northwestern caught on to what was going on here. That's clearly what's happened here. Some people applied for services in places where they didn't live at someone's request, probably Nick Antoni's.
We're going to listen to Mr. Kennecke right now.
And I'd welcome an evidentiary hearing to talk about all these matters.
I appreciate that. This is sounding more and more like a hearing right now. Do we have any commissioner, Commissioner Hansen, do you have any questions?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Kennecke, you heard Ms. Van Bockeren's statement that she does not believe that the Public Utilities Commission has a legal position to stand on to grant Northwestern the ability to continue in the direction that it has, that we do in fact need to grant the emergency motion to Mr. McCrae. Do you have a position on that where you can specifically cite FDCL or a rule that PUC has that provides us that opportunity?
I hesitate to say this, Commissioner, but I'm not sure I followed your question. Could you give me another try on that?
Well, Ms. Van Bockeren said that the Public Utilities Commission does not have a legal standing in this matter to state, excuse me, that's the wrong legal term, that we do not have the legal right to do anything other than grant the emergency motion to Mr. McCrae. And I'm asking, do you have, obviously your view is opposed to that, do you have a specific site that you can provide to us that would contradict what Ms. Van Bockeren states?
I am not sure I agree with your characterization of what Ms. Van Bockeren said. I think you have no authority to order us to turn the electricity on absent a noticed hearing at which we have the opportunity to provide testimony through witnesses or otherwise, and from which you can make a decision based on the facts. I think that Northwestern has a right under the Administrative Procedures Act and other laws of this state to be allowed to put on a defense to any of the claims made by any of the people who've appeared here in this docket this morning, and we've not yet been afforded that opportunity. Past that, Commissioner, I don't think there's a rule directly on point addressing what it is a refusal to serve. You have a 2010-2001 reasons for refusal, then 2010-2002 is insufficient reasons for refusal. So it's more complicated than we can get to the bottom of at a proceeding such as this. But in any event, I will draw your attention to 2010-2001 sub 3. An applicant, although not personally liable to the utility, is attempting to return service to an indebted household, and no attempts are forthcoming to liquidate the debt of that household. That might not be on point, because we're not talking about a household. This is a commercial property, but that's certainly the spirit of what we're talking about. No attempts forthcoming to liquidate the debt, and someone else is trying to return the service.
Mr. Kennecke, so you're saying in this particular docketed item that provides that the Mr. McCrite filed an emergency motion for temporary service that although we have a filing before us that we have no standing in the matter, that we cannot vote in favor of the emergency motion.
That's correct. I mean, you can, but I think you'd be treading on Northwestern's rights if you did so.
You're saying that legally it should not have even been placed on the agenda then?
I couldn't speak to why it was placed on the agenda or what the potential motions coming out of it might have possibly been, but ordering us to return service without affording us an opportunity to present witnesses and testimony on a defense is improper in my view.
Thank you. Ms. Van Bakkeren, do you have a reply to that?
Ooh, excuse me. Yes, this is Kara Van Bakkeren for staff. First of all, I think we can put anything on the agenda the public has concern with. So I think because of, in the spirit of an open meeting, certainly it was appropriate to put it on the agenda as a consumer requested we do so. However, I do agree, and I think, I mean, I know I didn't state my case very clearly. I'm torn between the law, which I don't think provides the opportunity for an emergency motion. I agree there's a need for a hearing due process. I'm torn between that, however, and the rules that specifically state reasons for refusal. And I don't think they've been met. There's not a reason for refusal. So I'm torn between certainly due process and also the utility has an obligation to serve unless there's a reason to refuse.
Can I ask you a question, Ms. Van Bakkeren? And that would be, do you think, though, that the commission can decide that, whether or not those reasons for refusal have been met, without making some findings of fact and after we've given the parties, you know, the defendant an opportunity to present a defense? I mean, at least, you know, I just give you one arguable issue might be, I mean, they've at least alleged that there's such a relationship between Mr. McCrite and them that in effect subdivision one, that in effect Mr. McCrite is Mr. McCrite and the former owner are, in fact, effectively the same entity. Now, that may not be true, but might that not be an issue of fact that needs to be looked into? I'm just asking.
I agree. And I stated that from the beginning, that I think there are definitely issues of facts here that need to be studied further.
And so I think the only point I'm making is, can we decide this without some kind of a hearing that gets it factually decided.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly my point. That's where I'm torn, is because in the meantime, if these individuals, in fact, should have been receiving service, if they're not the same person, they've been without service and unable to move this particular commercial property. That's my concern as staff, and that's my concern with the residents that are being withheld service as well, the tenants.
Commissioner Hansen, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that. And unfortunately, I was going to look to Consul Smith to tell me which side of the coin this should fall on, because we as commissioners need to have a direction at this juncture of whether what we can do legally. And if on the one hand, that the challenge that Ms. Van Bakkeren is struggling with, the one side that Mr. Kennecke obviously supports, and the other that a utility may not refuse service, and I don't have that law in front of me, so I don't know exactly what it says. I have read it, and so I need direction from our counsel as to whether or not this emergency motion falls under the later.
You know, Commissioner Hansen, I mean, part of the problem is we have no explicit procedure regarding an emergency motion that I know of. I mean, this is a complaint. The complainant has the burden of proof. He has to prove that he has the burden of proof, the complainant does, that he's entitled to have service reconnected. And again, that burden may not be very tough to meet under this rule. It may just be that, but on the other hand, the problem is here, the issue is, can you order somebody to do something without affording the defendant the right to a hearing under the Administrative Procedures Act?
Exactly.
And I don't know of any circumstance that I've heard, especially when what I've heard, and maybe Mr. McCrite or Mr. Antony want to comment on that, but I mean, so far what we've heard is there are no tenants here. I don't even hear, you know, there's just nothing, there is no emergency. I guess I can't make that finding a fact either, but what I'm hearing, this is a commercial deal. This is involvement, commercial lease of a commercial property. This isn't a life or death situation as far as I can see.
I wandered
into facts there, I know, but I mean, the bottom line is this, is that I don't think, you know, the defendant here has appeared today and said, we contest the allegations. And they filed a pleading stating, we contest the allegations that have been made. And it's not that Northwestern has to prove anything initially. The complainant has to prove, to start with, that they're entitled to protection under that rule.
So to cut to the chase, yeah, is we have our staff attorney and Mr. Kennecke both agree that, on the one hand, that we cannot force Northwestern to provide service, that we can't grant the emergency motion, and we, on the other hand, have all three of the attorneys telling us that in order to go through this process properly, we do have to have a hearing. So really, all of the other arguments that we're hearing have nothing to do with what we are able to do at this juncture.
I think that's correct. I really do. I think that's correct. You know, I mean, what I would say the maybe the hope might have been in staff putting this on is that in putting it on the agenda and everybody coming forward, that a solution might evolve today that would be acceptable to everyone, and that appears not to be happening. So I think the bottom line is the Northwestern, as the respondent, has a right to a hearing, and I think that's going to be my advice, is that you not attempt to order Northwestern to do anything prior to giving them their rights under the law to a hearing.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've heard all I need to at this juncture.
Okay. Now, Commissioner Johnson, have your questions or concerns been met yet, or do you have questions?
No, I'm fine. Thanks. May I say one more thing? This is Nick Antoni here.
Please be brief. That's correct, Mr. Prate. There's actually a different docket that addresses those concerns.
Okay, and then there's also Northwestern agreed to restore service at the Stardust Motel with the lease for Mike McCrae to be able to run the motel on a nightly and weekly basis or monthly. And he's leasing it. The only interest I would have is the amount that you've leased and you may be on $1,200 a month. Would be his money, and he would have the opportunity to purchase the
All right, sir. I hate to interrupt you, and I don't mean to cut you off short, but the things that you're discussing are actually things that should be in a hearing, and that's actually what we're trying to decide if we have power to do an emergency motion or if we go to a hearing. And the more we get into it, the more we need to. That would be, in my opinion, more of a evidence introduced into a hearing in a something that we would have to find out as factual.
Chairman?
Yes.
This is Commissioner Hanson.
Yes.
Forgive me, but I do want to explore one avenue, and that is a question that I would need to put to the owner as well as to Mr. Kenneke, and that is if the owner would be willing to have that $1,200 that is payable to him on a monthly basis be paid from Mr. McCrae to Northwestern
instead of the owner, and if that would be acceptable to Northwestern in order to turn on the energy.
I would agree. This is Nick Hanson.
Okay. Nick, thank you for your response. Commissioner Hanson and those of you on the Internet, the famous Pam Bonnerud is actually conferring with Mr. Kenneke here, and we'll give him just a minute. Yeah, Mr. Anthony, could you repeat that last part, but maybe just speak up just a little bit? Mr. Kennedy's having a little trouble hearing you. Okay, Mr. Kenneke has heard that. Mr. Anthony, I agree with that. I think the procedure that we should take here is to actually take action on your motion that we have, or the Charlotte Commission grant the emergency motion, and then encourage both parties to get together after this meeting. This meeting, I don't think, should carry on as to a bartering situation while everyone else waits to hear their dockets. So I believe a motion is in order, and I'll make a motion in the case of CE07-001 that the commission deny the emergency motion in the case of Mr. McKnight. But I would also encourage, after this meeting, both parties get together, and I think we are on the verge of a solution. But I just don't think that it's appropriate that the commission take emergency action and grant that motion. A motion has been made. Discussion?
Yeah, Commissioner Colbeck. Commissioner Colbeck, is it appropriate to deny the motion, or perhaps would it be better to set the motion aside until such time as an evidentiary hearing could be held?
We'll turn to Mr. Smith.
That may be appropriate, too, I guess. In the end, I don't know that it matters, because we'll end in a – I think what that'll really mean is we'll just be deciding the complaint, but whatever you think, whichever way you want to do it. And again, if we can speed this up, but again, I think you've heard from Ms. Foss, who's in a little different situation. Here we're talking a commercial deal, and I don't know that we couldn't just proceed, try to get an expeditiously scheduled hearing date and just get the whole darn thing over with,
Okay.
It may, yeah.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Ms. Boss?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay. Could you wait just a whole... We'll take action on this motion, and then we'll hear your question. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take call. Roll. Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kovac votes aye. We are not talking about a specific docket right now. Ms. Voss, you had a comment?
Yes, sir. And it may be more appropriate for me to discuss this with Karen as well, but I'm just wondering. No, there may not be an emergency at Stardust. My situation is separate but connected in the fact that I'm being denied service because of the situation that Nick is in. And I guess my question is, what do I do in the meantime while this hearing is going on and being planned, or while Nick and Northwestern are negotiating? What's my course actually here?
That's a very good question. And
right now I'm in an apartment with no power.
Okay, we understand that, and I'm concerned about it also. I think the other commissioners are. Is there any statement from Northwestern right now?
We think that the discussions that we're probably going to hold with Mr. Antoni this afternoon are likely to bear fruit. We are certainly not at all unwilling to provide her service if she moves to someplace else in Mitchell. But while she's a straw person, at least I don't have the authority to make a deal on her behalf here today, and I don't think Ms. Bondrud does either. We'd have to go upstream to executive management for that. But we're certainly very, very mindful of this situation. I don't know if I was clear enough before how we don't like being in this position one bit. We don't like this at all. We want a way out of it.
Ms. Voss, does Kara have your information to get a hold of you?
I have one more thing to say.
Sure.
Moving to another apartment right now would be quite difficult for me to do. It's going to sound really silly, but I do have pets, and in general, it's almost impossible to find an apartment that will allow you to have them. And I've had one of my pets I've had for 12 years, and at that point, it's not just a pet anymore. And I don't know if anybody understands that or not, but...
We do understand that. We understand, and thank you for your comments, Ms. Foss. I would strongly encourage Northwestern and Mr. Antoni and others involved in this case to please get Ms. Foss out of the middle. We need to get her some power. I'm very concerned that she's caught up in the middle of this and has absolutely no control of a way to get out. So I understand Ms. Van Bockeren has your contact information, and the public utilities will be following up with you, Ms. Voss, to make sure that something has been done to help you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Now, we'll move on to the telecommunications part of our agenda. Okay, in the case of TC06-007, in the matter of the petition of Level 3 Communications, LLC, for arbitration of an interconnection agreement with Quest Corporation. The question before the Commission today is, shall the Commission grant Level 3's motion to withdraw petition and terminate arbitration proceedings? First of all, we'll look to anyone from Level 3 or Quest for comment.
Brett Kennecke filling in for the golfing Dave Gertis on this docket. I can see by all your smiling faces, you're thrilled to see me back up at the stand. Level 3 seeks to withdraw its petition and terminate the arbitration proceedings as put forth in Dave's motion. I think clear to us that there's no prejudice to anybody with respect to the matter. We're at a situation where we don't think there's any pending business. There's no procedural schedule. We'd attempt, or we plan to adopt the SGAT that Quest has on file, and or some version of it. I understand there might be an issue with respect to that, but that's not teed up for hearing today. We would ask that the Commission grant Level 3's motion to withdraw and terminate the arbitration proceedings, refund the deposit, and let us go on our way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kaneki. And I need to thank the representatives from Quest and Level 3 there on the line that are bearing with us through this longer hearing. Is there any comment from Level 3 or Ms. Sybil?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Colleen Sybil for Quest. Quest has no objection to Level 3's request to withdraw the petition for arbitration. Quest will be filing comments regarding the SGAT opt-in, and I believe they are due on Thursday of this week.
All right, thank you. How about Mr. Thayer?
No, Your Honor, I have no, Commissioner, I have no comments.
All right. Well, now we'll turn to staff. Ms. Rolene Weist, any comments?
I would recommend that you grant the motion.
Perfect. Any comments from commissioners? Commissioner Johnson or Hansen? Hearing none, a motion is in order. I'll motion in the matter of TC06-007 in the matter of petition of Level 3 Communications. I will motion that the Commission grant Level 3's motion to withdraw a petition and terminate the arbitration proceedings. There's been a motion. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll take roll. Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kovac votes aye also. Thank you. The next matter in communications is TC06-030 in the matter of the filing by McLeod USA Telecommunications for approval of revisions to its interstate switched access tariff and approval of rates. Today, shall the Commission approve the revisions in the interstate switched access tariff, and shall the Commission approve the rates? First of all, I'd look to anyone from McLeod for comment. Okay. Staff. We'll turn to staff. Mr. Best or Ms. Kramer?
Thank you. This is Harlan Best of staff. McLeod originally filed this application. They filed a cost study. The cost study that they filed was not in compliance with the administrative rules that the Commission has for filing of the switched access cost study. What they filed was a forward-looking economic cost analysis. After discussing that with McLeod, they agreed that that they could not or should not have filed the cost study in the manner in which they did. So they have since agreed to take staff's recommendation that they take the Quest rate for switched access, and they have revised the switched access tariff that they filed originally on April 7 to have the Quest rates mirrored within those tariffs, and the rates would be there also. Staff would recommend that the Commission approve the revised tariff that McLeod has filed, which incorporates the Quest rate.
Okay. Any other comments? Commissioners, any comments?
I have a question for Mr. Best. Mr. Best, I'm just thinking back when we've had similar type proceedings. Haven't we required a waiver developing company specific cost study?
I believe we have, but that's not. They probably should have been the question, and it was not noted on the agenda. So I don't know if we can.
Am I right in remembering the rules allow for a three-year exemption, or I know there was some discussion about changing that. Am I remembering that right?
Right, there is the 3-year exemption period, but what with McLeod going to the Quest rate, as long as their rate would be equal to or less than the Quest rate, they would not. What staff has done and recommended in the past, and the commission has gone along with, is that the 3-year criteria would no longer apply at that point in time.
Sure. Okay.
We'll pause here for. Ms. Kramer may have some concerns. For those of you listening on the internet, just give us a second here and on the phone.
This is Karen Kramer from staff. I believe to cover that question so that this matter can be taken care of, that could become part of staff's recommendation that would go in the order. It would be a condition of the order that they need not file.
So a condition that they need not file for a waiver?
Well, wouldn't it be, Harlan, that they would, the condition would be that,
but to get to Commissioner Johnson's question was to the
actual
the administrative
itself.
Rule that requires a waiver of
right.
That I think has to be they have to get the exemption from filing a cost study so they can take the Quest rate.
We could defer it and just put it on the next time. That'd probably be the easiest.
I don't mind doing that if it's just as easy a fix as verbally throwing into the motion that she grants a waiver from that administrative rule, that could certainly be part of the motion.
You know, just I guess maybe this is the common sense. Maybe that's when your name is John Smith. That's you have to have go that way once in a while. But, gosh, I think that's what I would do because it's implied in the They may or may not have. I can't remember because I didn't bring that piece of paper up here and I looked at it an hour ago, so I can't remember. But it's implied when they make a filing that's not cost based, I think, that they're requesting to be exempted from cost based treatment, and it's beneficial to the consumer. It's beneficial to everybody. So I would go ahead and include it in the motion, the recommendation, and motion, and be done with it.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions by commissioners? Hearing none, a motion is in order.
Commissioner Johnson, I would move that the commission approve the revisions to the interstate switch tax tariff and that the commission approve the rates. Say part of this filing is the commission granting an exemption from the administrative rule requiring that the rates be based on a company-specific study.
All right, a motion has been made. Is there any discussion by commissioners? Hearing none, we'll take roll. Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye also. Motion passes 3-0. And the next one, TC06-178, in the matter of the applications of Sprint Communications Company, LLP, for authority to provide local exchange service in dockets TC06-178, and TC06-180. Today, before the commission, the question is, shall the commission grant the joint motion for delay of hearings? First of all, we'll hear from Sprint. Is anyone from Sprint on the line to...
Mr. Commissioner, Talbot Weiser.
Okay.
The other docketed...
Yes.
The same motion was filed with both to keep this matter direct and as short as possible. I'll just address generally both the motions. The joint motion was filed by all parties Sprint and everybody that had intervened to make a continuance. The joint motion provides for rescheduling of some pre-filing dates, leaves open the scheduling for hearing dates, and all parties agreed to
Thank you, Tal. I should clarify that. The application is made by Sprint in docket TC06178 for authority to provide local exchange service in certain rural areas served by Brookings Municipal Utilities doing business as SwiftTel. And in TC06-180, the application by Sprint for authority to provide local exchange services in certain rural areas served by Interstate Telecommunications Cooperative. Is there anyone from SwiftTel or Brookings Municipal on the line that would like to comment?
Mary Sasek here with SwiftTel, and SwiftTel agrees to the request.
All right, thank you. How about anyone from ITC Communications?
Yes, Commissioner. This is Ryan Taylor. Yes, ITC, and ITC also agrees to the motion.
Fantastic. How about, do we have any questions or concerns from commissioners for staff? I'd like to turn to staff right now. Either Mr. Solom or Caravan Bachran. I'm sorry.
This is Caravan Bachran for staff. Staff does not, staff agrees with the motion.
Okay, thank you. Now I'll turn to questions from commissioners. Hearing none, a motion is in order. We're delaying the hearings.
This is Commissioner Hanson. I make a motion that the commission grant the joint motion for continuance.
Fantastic. There's been a motion to delay the hearings. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take roll. Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hanson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye. Motion passes 3-0. Okay, the next matter before us is actually number 4 under telecommunications, and the matter of the application of MCC Telephony of the Midwest, doing business as Mediacom, for certificate of authority in dockets TC06188 and TC06189. In TC06188, the application of MCC Telephony of the Midwest doing business as Mediacom for a certificate of authority to provide inter-exchange and local exchange services in the Brookings Exchange. And TC06189 in the matter of the application of Mediacom for a certificate of authority to provide inter-exchange and local exchange services in the Castlewood, Elkton, Esteline, Hayti, Lake Norton, and White Exchanges. Those are the two dockets. The question before the commission today is, shall the commission approve the tariff revisions? First of all, we'll look to anyone representing. Hold on just a sec. Oh, I'm sorry. The question before the commission is, shall the commission grant the joint motion for delay of hearings? I stated the wrong question. Thank you, Mr. Rizloff. And first of all, we'll look to anyone from Mediacom.
Good morning, Commissioners. Brett Kennecke from Mediacom. These are companion cases to the two that you just heard on that were filed by Sprint. They were to be scheduled concurrently. They do include SDTA as an intervener on terms different than the prior ones that you had heard. But in any event, the parties have agreed to the same language and the same basic principles with respect to continuing 188 and 189, and Mediacom for itself would ask that you grant the motion to delay, which was filed. Thank you.
Thank you. Secondly, is there anyone else that'd like to comment on this docket? All right. Anyone else? Next, we'll turn to staff. Ms. Van Bachran?
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Staff recommends that you grant the joint motion.
Okay. Fantastic. Commissioners, any questions or concerns from commissioners? I have one, I guess. And this may be, I'm not sure who I would direct this question to, but the Brookings Exchange and all of the towns listed, who are the, it doesn't actually say ITC on there. I gather that it's SwiftTel and ITC. Is the Brookings Exchange in 188, does that pertain to SwiftTel? And the 189, does that docket pertain to ITC, is that correct?
Brett Kennecke again, Commissioner. Yes, I believe that that is the case as it relates to your question. Swiftel is the exchange in 188, and in 189 it's ITC exchanges as listed there.
Okay.
Commissioner, this is James Overcash, MAP ITC. I believe that's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from commissioners? Hearing none, a motion is in order. I would like to motion in the docket TC06-188 and TC06-189 that today the commission grant the joint motion for delay of hearings. A motion has been made. Is there discussion on the motion? Hearing none, I'll call roll. Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach will vote aye also. Motion passes 3-0. Number 5 on the telecommunications docket of our agenda today, in the matter of the filing for approval of an amendment to an interconnection agreement between Quest Corporation and AT&T Communications, AT&T Communications of the Midwest. On April 20th, the commission received the filing for the approval of a rate amendment, amendment number 5, to the interconnection agreement between Quest Corporation and AT&T Communications of the Midwest, Incorporated, for the state of South Dakota. Today, shall the commission approve the amendment to the agreement? First, I'll turn to anyone from Quest Corporation that would like to comment on TC07-022.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quest has no comments.
Okay, anyone from AT&T? Hearing none, I'll turn to staff. Ms. Van Bakkeren.
Thank you. This is Kara Van Bakkeren for staff. The amendment was properly filed and executed, does not appear to contain any discriminatory language. No comments were filed, and staff therefore recommends approval.
Thank you very much. Any questions or concerns from commissioners? Hearing none, a motion is in order. I'll motion in the case of TC07-022 that today the commission approves the amendment to the agreement. There's been a motion. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll take roll. Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye. Motion passes 3-0. And our last item on the docket on our agenda today is TC07-026. In the matter of the application of Access to Go for a certificate of authority to provide inter-exchange telecommunication services in South Dakota. On May 5, 2007, Access to Go filed an application seeking a certificate of authority to provide inter-exchange services throughout South Dakota. On May 14, 2007, Access to Go submitted a request for withdrawal of their application. The question before the commission today is, shall the commission grant the withdrawal request? Is there anyone on the line from Access to Go that would like to comment? Hearing none. We'll turn to staff, Mr. Sanger or Ms. Kramer.
Thank you. This is Keith Sanger from Commission staff. I know in an attempt to make a long story fairly short, at no fault of this application was filed by a consultant who has filed repeated applications with the commission. The applications have been less than complete, and the consultant has been less than timely on responding to the commission, commission staff. Commission staff has actually sent numerous letters to this consultant. Upon receiving this filing, I actually called up the consultant, discussed these matters with them, and they agreed that they would probably be better off just withdrawing this application and refiling it at a later time. So you can expect to probably see this company back again. Again, I want to make sure the commission knows this is at no fault of the company itself. It's the consultant who is probably considered the bad actor here. But staff would just request that the commission grant the withdrawal.
All right. Any other comments from staff? Hearing none, are there any questions from commissioners? Hearing none, a motion is in order.
Commissioner Johnson, would the commission grant the withdrawal request?
Okay. There's been a motion. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll call roll. Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye also. That is the last item on our agenda, past 3-0. There are some announcements. The next regularly scheduled commission meeting will be held on June 5th, 2007 at 9:30 a.m. in room 412 at the State Capitol Building and Pier. The commission meetings are scheduled for June 26th. The PUC offices will be closed on May 28th, 2007 in observance of Memorial Day. A hearing in docket TC07-013 will be held in room 412 of the State Capitol Building and Pier on June 6, 2007. The hearing will begin at 9 a.m. Commissioners and staff will be attending the annual Mid-American Regulatory Conference in Minneapolis on June 17th through the 22nd. And a hearing on dockets TC06. Zero 06, 178, 180, 188, 189 will be held in room 412, State Capitol Building on June 26th through 29th. The hearing will begin immediately following the commission meeting on June 26th at 8:30 a.m. on June 27th to 8th and 9th, 2007. And the PUC offices will be closed on Wednesday, July 4th, 2007 in observance of Independence Day. Thank you for being here today. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night.